Is there any particular reason that we should remember to rest on Sunday? Well, as Skip Heitzig points out, there is.
History tells us the facts. I'm going to take you back before Constantine. This is a quote from Justin Martyr, 140 AD, quite a bit further back. Quote, "Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly because it is the first day in which God, having wrought a change in darkness, made the world. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day, rose from the dead."
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
What's the point of throwing a one-year-old a birthday party? I heard some of my coworkers debating this topic earlier this week. Some felt that since the baby won't remember anything, throwing them a party was pointless. Others felt it was important because the day of a child's birth is a special event for friends and family to celebrate, regardless of whether or not the child remembers. Well, this same debate often crops up when it comes to the idea of setting aside a Sabbath day. And Skip Heitzig provides us with some insight on that debate today here on The Connection. In fact, one of the best ways to enjoy a day of rest is to spend some time of it in prayer. However, many of us struggle with that aspect of Christianity. We often feel we don't pray deeply or long enough. Well, this month we want to help you with a few insightful resources. Here's more.
There are lots of different kinds of prayer. There's the before dinner prayer.
Lord, we ask your blessing.
There's the panic before the big test prayer. And there's the being cut off on the freeway by a discourteous driver prayer. But shouldn't prayer be more than that? Shouldn't our prayers go deeper than that? This month, Skip Heitzig and The Connection want to help you discover the true power and privilege of prayer with the Prayer Points resource package. Included is Skip's book, When God Prays, where you'll learn how to pray from Jesus' example. Then in Chuck Smith's book, Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege, you'll discover why we should cherish the gift of prayer. And lastly, in Pray This Way by Skip Heitzig, you'll discover practical ways to become a true prayer warrior. Get all three resources this month for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
So what's the point of setting aside a day to rest? Does God really expect us to do that? Is He going to do anything if we don't? And doesn't He realize we have a lot to do? Well, stay with us to learn more about that today here on The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Skip Heitzig continues to examine God's commandment for us to rest today. So open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, and let's join Skip for the start of today's message.
This commandment is to benefit you and to benefit me. It's good for you physically. It's good for you relationally. And more than that, it's good for you spiritually. Notice what it is called in our text. It is called the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You know that when you take a day and you do what the Bible says, you rest, you relax, you rejuvenate, you rekindle. What you're saying is you're acknowledging that He is the Lord, your God. In effect, you're saying, Lord, I acknowledge that whatever I have isn't because of my own intellectual business prowess and my own work ethic, but it's because of you. You're my provider. And I'm going to prove that to myself and to my family by honoring you. And you know how you prove it? By stopping. By stopping. Because if you don't, in effect, what you're saying is that you worship yourself, not the Lord your God. It's all pride. You're proving that you acknowledge He is your Lord by saying, this day I stop. Now, it's sort of like the tithe. Many people will say, oh, all that I have belongs to the Lord, but they never tithe. Those are just empty words. Now, you've seen the bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. You've seen that, haven't you, over the years? There's one out there, I don't know if you've seen this one, but it is a bumper sticker. I read it. It says, tithe if you love Jesus, any idiot can honk. Because the tithe proves everything I have belongs to the Lord. And what the tithe does monetarily, the Sabbath does in terms of your time. Everything, every moment I have belongs to the Lord, and I trust Him as my provider. So this rest is explained and clarified in verse 10. Now the reason for the whole commandment is given. Verse 11, here's why you're to do it. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. That's pretty good work, isn't it? 6 24-hour periods to make all that. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. So God worked 6 days, and then he was done. He rested. Okay. When you read, the Lord rested on the seventh day, does that mean God was pooped? Did God go, man, those elephants, they took it out of me. Those whales, painting the zebra's stripes. I'm pooped. No, it doesn't mean he was pooped. It just means enough was enough. He was done. God could have certainly kept creating, right, on the seventh day and the eighth day and the ninth day and the tenth day and the 35th day and the 4,363rd day. But imagine how crowded this earth would be. It's simply saying, I'm done now. Enough is enough. Here's the point. Yes, you can keep on being productive if you don't take a break and keep on being creative. But when is enough enough? When are you just done with that? And so the point of verse 11 is, the Lord took 6 days and did what he did, and he rested. And the point is this, like father, like son. If tireless omnipotence knew when to quit, how about frail, limited humanity? Enough is enough. God could have made other worlds. God could have populated other planets. There's no indication in the Bible that he did. He stopped. And one of the hardest things to do is to stop. One of the hardest things to do is to practice Psalm 46, which I think beautifully sums up the purpose of the Sabbath. It says, be still and know that I am God. That's what it is. Be still and know that I am God. So the Sabbath is more than just stopping work, but starting worship. It's where you're still enough to realize and to honor the Lord your God. You call it a day of holy leisure. Holy leisure. The idea is more than just rejuvenation of the body, but the renewal of the spirit, the revitalization of the soul. Now, we have sort of skirted around this issue, and you're probably thinking, okay, Skip, when are you going to get to the real fun stuff here? What is the proper day to worship? Is it the seventh day? Is Saturday a Jewish Sabbath, part of the covenant God made with the Jews? Or is it for Christians to keep as well? And if Christians are to keep the Sabbath day, how are they to keep it, the Saturday Sabbath? And if they are, what about Sunday? What about the Lord's Day? Are those two different days to be celebrated two different ways? When did the Sabbath change to Sunday? You want to know what the answer is? It never changed. It never changed. The Sabbath has always been Saturday and will always be Saturday. Now hold on to your hats. Strict Sabbatarians, those who make a big deal out of Saturday, will accuse those of us who meet on Sunday as being pagan worshipers, saying, Well, don't they know that Sunday is the pagan day that the sun god was worshipped on? Sunday is worshipping the sun god. Of course, they don't want to admit that Saturday comes from the Latin Saturnus, where the planet Saturn was worshipped by the pagans. That's just a convenient thing to leave out. Moreover, strict Sabbatarians will say what really happened is in the 4th century, in fact, in 321 AD, Constantine changed the Sabbath to Sunday. That's when it all started. And then they'll say in 364 AD, the Council of Laodicea declared that Sunday was a day of worship. Well, there's a little bit of truth and a little bit of falsehood in those statements. Let me separate them. There was a council at Laodicea. They did say that Sunday was the day to worship God, but they did not change the Sabbath. They never eradicated the Sabbath. That wasn't the point. They just said Sunday is a day to worship God. And Constantine didn't change the Sabbath. Why do Christians meet on Sunday? What are we celebrating? The resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, history tells us the facts. I'm going to take you back before Constantine. This is a quote from Justin Martyr, 140 AD, quite a bit further back. Quote, "Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly because it is the first day in which God, having wrought a change in darkness, made the world. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead." Let me take you back even further. This is 120 AD. The Epistle of Barnabas, who was an Alexandrian Messianic Jew, quote, "We keep the eighth day with joyfulness." The eighth day being the first day, because there's only seven. Eight is the number of new beginnings or the start of the week again. "We keep the eighth day with joyfulness, for on that day, that is when Jesus rose again." I'll take you back even further. 110 AD, Ignatius said of believers, "They are no longer observing the Sabbath, but living according to the Lord's day by which our life sprung from him and by his death." I'll take you back even further. There was a document circulating between 90 and 80 AD called the Didache. The Didache was dubbed the Teaching of the 12 Apostles, in which it is written, "On the day of our Lord's resurrection, which is the Lord's day, we meet more diligently." Now, all of these historical quotes that I just gave you predate Constantine by at least 180 to 240 years. So it wasn't a 4th century conspiracy to change and eradicate Saturday. Sabbath never changed. Point is, Christians met on Sunday, the Lord's Day, to celebrate the resurrection. But all that aside, all the history stuff, anybody can quote history. Let's go back even further. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible tells us that there was already changes occurring outside of Jerusalem, especially in Gentile areas like Troas, when Paul was going back toward Jerusalem. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." They were already getting together to break bread on the first day of the week. "Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his sermon message until midnight." Huh. You think you have it rough? They had to sit there all day and all night. Don't worry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. The apostle says, "On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." Why? Why should they do it on the first day of the week? It's obvious. That was the day they met together. The Lord's Day. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John writes, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet speaking with me." What's the Lord's day? That's the day the church met. And it was a common practice already by that time. So here it is all together. Here's the synthesis of it. The seventh day commemorates and celebrates a finished creation. The first day celebrates and commemorates a finished redemption. The seventh day celebrates and commemorates Egypt being sprung from their slavery in Egypt. The first day celebrates and commemorates the victory of Jesus Christ over death by his resurrection. So, the final question is, well then, is the Sabbath New Testament? Is it for Christians? The answer is yes and no. Allow me to explain. The concept is New Testament. The day is irrelevant. The concept is New Testament. The day is not. Here's why. First of all, we don't exactly know when Saturday is. You say, well, yeah, sure I do. Yes, Saturday was yesterday. No, it wasn't. Everybody who has studied chronology will tell you that the calendar has changed a few different times so that presently today, and I'm not being funny here, they'll tell you, we don't know if this really is the, yesterday really was the seventh day and this is the first day. This might be Tuesday. We don't know. Calendar has gotten away from us. Number two, this fourth commandment is the only commandment of them all that is non-moral and purely ceremonial. All other commandments are repeated, expanded, reiterated in some form or fashion throughout the New Testament, but not this one. And third, that sort of plays on that, there is no explicit New Testament command to keep the Saturday Sabbath. Jesus didn't say, oh, and by the way, make sure when I leave that you keep the Saturday Sabbath. In fact, isn't it interesting that when the church did get together to figure out what they ought to do and not do in Acts chapter 15, remember the Council of Jerusalem? There were these people getting saved who weren't keeping the laws of Moses. And so finally the church deliberated and said, tell them this. Tell them to stay away from things that have been polluted by idols, sexual immorality, things strangled, and from blood. If they do this, they do well. They didn't say, oh yeah, P.S., keep the Sabbath day. That wasn't even mentioned in that letter. Nor does Paul in any of his epistles say that as well. There is no explicit New Testament command to keep the Saturday Sabbath, but there's a whole lot of scriptures to say it doesn't matter. Here's one. I don't know if time for all of them, but here's one. Romans chapter 14. It says this, and I'm quoting, who are you to judge another man's servant? Before his own master does he rise and fall, and God is able to make him stand. For one man esteems one day of the week over all the other days. Another man esteems all of the days alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. That's what it says. This is what it means. Here's a person who says, Saturday's the only day to worship. Great, are you fully convinced in your own mind? God bless you. Well, no, he's wrong. I'm right. Sunday, that's the only day to honor and worship God. You fully convinced in your own mind? Great, God bless you. I, on the other hand, am fully convinced in my own mind to worship God Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All the days. To me, they're all alike. Since I don't know what day is today, the calendar has changed, I'll worship God every day. That's what I'm fully convinced in my own mind. Now, I'm going to have you turn, and we'll close right here with this one text of Scripture. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. New Testament. Begins with a C. Now, I know you know where it is. Colossians chapter 2. Would you turn there with me and we'll close here. As you're turning there, Paul is saying, look, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He is the preeminent one. He's the one who holds all things together. He's the one who fulfills all things. And so in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, here's the conclusion. So, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or what? Sabbaths. So, I believe that. Somebody wants to lay a trip on me about Saturday, I won't let them judge me. I don't receive it. Get mad all you want. I don't receive it. I won't let you judge me when it comes to Sabbaths. Now, this statement cannot be said of any of the other commandments. He didn't say, let no man judge you when it comes to murdering people. Because that's really not the big issue. Or let nobody judge you when it comes to committing adultery. But here it says, don't let anybody judge you when it comes to the Sabbath. And here's why. Look what it says in the next verse. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The Sabbath is a what? It's a shadow. Shadow of what? The real thing. And that's Jesus Christ. If I came home in the evening and I stood there in the driveway and my body cast a shadow by the sun on the driveway, how weird would it be for someone like my wife to come up to my shadow and saying, I'm so glad you're home, and start hugging the shadow? I'd say, over here, the substance is here. That's just the shadow. The real rest, the Sabbath rest, according to Hebrews chapter 4, is Jesus Christ, not the day. Don't adore the day and miss the point. And the point is Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law and is our Sabbath rest. So the point isn't Saturday. The point is, do you have a relationship with Christ? Today, you might be the well-rested, most well-rested person in the state of New Mexico, physically. You might come here going, great sermon, I believe it all. In fact, I don't take one day, I take 4 days off a week. I'm very rested. But if you're physically rested, you might be still spiritually restless because you haven't rested in the finished work of Christ. What a great commandment. Obey it. In the midst of your vocation, take a vacation. You hear about the two guys who were chopping wood. They challenged each other to a contest. Who could chop the most wood in one day? Both of them went at it from morning till evening. Only one guy took a very short lunch break, but he chopped all day. The other guy took frequent breaks, seemed to rest a lot during the day, and then go back to it. At the end of the day, the guy that took the most breaks won, chopped more wood. And the guy who worked all day was wiping the sweat from his brow and go, I don't get it. Every time I turn around, you were sitting around resting. And he said, what you didn't see is that while I was resting, I was sharpening my axe. And that's what the day of rest will do for you. It'll keep you sharp so that you can continue working for the Lord the way we ought to work for him. Well, I trust, I hope that your rest is in Jesus Christ. If not, come to rest in his finished work.
There's a lot more to being well rested than just getting a good nap. God wants us to rest in him, not just so we can sleep better, but so we can live better. And that's all the time we have for today. But if you'd like to review this message again, or maybe share it with someone you know who could use a little rest in their life, I'll tell you how to order a copy of today's message in just a moment. But first, if you've never taken the time to contact us before, you should do so now. Why? Well, because we'll send you a free booklet from Skip Heitzig about the Lord's Prayer. Just a little thank you from us when you make the effort to pick up the phone and call us for the first time. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching on the importance of rest, just call us on that same number, 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6. Or you can also order a copy on our website, That's connectionradio.org. We'd love to hear from you. And make sure you mention the call letters of this station when you contact us. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
If you've ever wondered why it's so important for us to obey God's commands, especially here in the 21st century, then you're going to want to be sure and join us for our next study here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.